You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Happy Sunday. I hope you are well. If you are visiting today, then, in fact, do we have a clicker available? If you're visiting today, this is, since January, we've been working through the Sermon on the Mount. And this is our last sermon, or our last lesson on this. And next week, we're going to be beginning, my son. Thank you, Elijah. And next week, we will be beginning a new series where we're studying out the Holy Spirit. So definitely looking forward to that. So what have you worked on from and taken away from the Sermon on the Mount? We did a lot. We've gone through a lot of material. Do we have slides up there? Okay. So we have the whole sermon is so much packed in. And so the question is, as we approach the end of the sermon, what does Jesus want to do with it? We looked at the Beatitudes, salt and light, reconciliation over anger, honesty, loving your enemies, generosity, do not judge, do not worry, trusting God over money, so many things. And so what we're going to do today is, by the end of the message, hopefully you're going to be able just to leave here today, just really being able to grab hold of one or two things that we can really begin to, you've probably been putting them into practice already, but a couple of things that we can take away from here. When you get to an end of unit, if you're in school, so I'm going to pull a teacher move, what do you do at the end of unit? A test. There's no tests, okay? But we're going to do some consolidation with what we've been learning so that we don't just leave the message as it is and move on to something new. But I think God really wants us to make sure that his word takes root within our souls, within our hearts. So we're going to do a little bit of that today. Okay, so let's pray just to prepare ourselves for God's word. Thank you, Father, so much just for the lessons that we've been learning over the past few months. It's incredible. No matter how long we've been Christians, there's always new things for us to learn, new perspectives for us to gain. God, new insights, God, for you to convict our hearts with. And so we thank you, Father, so much that you, who began such a good work in us, is continuing it on to completion. We pray today that as we think about ending this incredible sermon, Lord, that you will prepare our hearts and our minds for your word, so that we can truly continue to step out in faith, growing in Christ's likeness and in the application of your word. Thank you, Father. We're so grateful. It's in your son's precious name we pray. Amen. So today, the title is the Narrow Path and Building on the Rock. But ultimately, Jesus ends his sermon with a conclusion. And so he concludes with these two illustrations. The first one being the narrow path or the narrow gate, and the second one being building our house or our lives on the rock. And so he gives his audience a decision. He says, listen, you've heard my message. Now it's up to you. Now it's time for you to choose. Don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of what I've been teaching you for however long that sermon was. And the same is true for us. So let's read these two decision points that Jesus presents to the audience. So the first one, the narrow way, Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the way that leads to life, and only a few find it. Only a few. And so he contrasts the many with the few. And he's saying, listen, if you follow my words, you put them into practice, you will be part of the few. Because it's tough, it's difficult. And this idea of narrow, it almost means it means it's restrictive. It's almost possibly painful to be able to go through. Don't take the easy route. That's what he's calling us to do. Then secondly, we see this. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the torrents raged, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the torrents raged, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its collapse. So again, he's calling us, calling his audience to decision. You know, whenever I've taught this passage before, or particularly to newcomers to the faith, I've kind of seen the narrow path versus Jesus as, or the narrow path being Jesus and the wide path being the way of the world, the world's way. Would you agree with that? However, if we only view it like that, if we exclusively hold that view of it being the Jesus contrasting to the world, we as Christians can gloss over perhaps what he's been trying to teach us and think that it's not relevant to us because we are not in the world. And we could miss what he's really trying to teach. And as we've seen by digging deeper into the scriptures, it is very convicting, even though we might have been a Christian for 30, 40 years plus. And we have to think about who is it that he's actually addressing in this sermon? Who's part of the audience? Well, it's his disciples. It's religious people who are interested in what he's got to say. It is us. We are that audience that he would easily be speaking to today. It doesn't seem like there's even any Pharisees or religious leaders in the crowd. It's us. It's religious people. And so after laying out his kingdom manifesto, he is not comparing his way, his life, his path, his teachings with the world. But he's calling into question religiosity. He's calling into question how easy it can be just to be comfortable within our faith. Religious affiliation, perhaps, without the heart of true devotion. Something that we all need to watch out for. And we see this in the passage that I've just read, in the warning. And he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will call upon me on that day. Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. The lawlessness means they're just doing their own thing. They believe in God, but they're ultimately practicing their faith in their own way and not following the way of the Lord. And so this is a warning. So he concludes with a warning saying, listen, be careful. Just because you're in the right place, in the right building, listening to the message at the right time, be careful. Because it's about how you live out his word that makes the difference. So when we go back to the narrow way, the wide way is pseudo-religion. It's potentially false religion or religion truly without that devotion. So Jesus is wanting to make sure that we do not miss out. Yes, he's delivered some amazing teachings, and the message at the end here is hard. It's difficult. But he's saying, listen, I love you so much, I don't want you to miss out. Put it, my word, into practice. The life built on the sand is not just the person who rejects God altogether, but it's us if we believe in Jesus and we do not do what he says. It is not striving to live out Jesus even in the depths of our character. Dallas Willard in his book Divine Conspiracy says, the narrow path is not correct doctrine. It is obedience. That is the narrow path. Whether we are choosing to truly obey Jesus at his word. The rock is not Jesus himself. It is obedience to Jesus. That's how we build our lives, on obeying the word of Christ. That's a challenge, right? It's difficult. But he would never have given us teachings if he knew that we couldn't do it. He would never expect something of us if he didn't believe that with the help of his Holy Spirit, with this beautiful community, that we could put these things into practice and live them out. So let us never think, well, I can't do that. No, Jesus gave us them because he believes in us and he believes in the power of his Spirit. So let's take a look very quickly just back to this warning. And so he says, listen, the only people who are truly going to be saved are those who do the will of my Father. That's the bottom line. not, as I said, not just happening to be in the right place at the right time, hearing the word of God, but are we willing to take hold of these tough teachings and live them out within our lives? That's the challenge. So let's go back to the conclusion. So we see this choice between building our life as we want to, or obeying Jesus, following the wide path that everyone else seems to, or the narrow path that leads to Christ. If you're new to the West Side, you've probably heard this term disciple being used from time to time. And the bottom line is that a Christian must be a disciple of Jesus. And a disciple is an apprentice. It's someone who's continually learning from their master how to live like Jesus, think like Jesus, be like Jesus, love like Jesus. That's ultimately Jesus's manifesto. That's what he has laid out. This is how I want you to live. How long are we apprentices of Jesus for? Forever. What about in heaven? I don't know what that will look like. Who knows? But while we're here, this is our journey. This is our life. Year after year, learning and allowing God to shape and mold our character. So that in this time, in a year from now, you've grown so much more into the likeness of Christ. But sometimes we can get stuck. I don't know about you. And we kind of feel like we're just going around in circles. Anyone relate to that? But Jesus is like, hey, I've got you. But you need to perhaps, we need to grab hold of, as we'll see, just some of these deeper teachings. Because when we just gloss over them, they can become religious acts. But Jesus is really trying to get to the deeper core of who we are so that he can transfer his power into us as we live out our lives more and more like him. Therefore, if we claim to be believers of Christ and yet we ignore his teachings, he says we're on a path to destruction. Because who is he talking to? He's talking to us, the religious people. Now, we would love, I think, the gospel message to be full of rainbows and butterflies and unicorns. We would love that. But he's given this warning for a reason, because he doesn't want us to miss out. Thankfully, God is going to be the ultimate judge, but we all will face judgment. That's going to happen to us. Even those of us who are in Christ, we will face judgment. So it means we do have an obligation to teach the standard that we will be judged by. Otherwise, many of us will be surprised by the judgment. Think about those teachers who give you a test. They tell you what's going to be on the test, and then they test you on something else. Ever had that? Is that your favorite teacher? No. God is like, I'm giving you everything that you need. Judgment is coming on the world, you included. This is it. This is how you live a life of happiness, of joy, and get ready for that salvation. So we have to really make sure that we don't, sadly, I think there are some false teachings in regard to even what the gospel message is. Because if this is the standard of judgment, putting Jesus' word into practice, if his standard of judgment is obedience, sometimes people can be called to faith by just belief alone. And that's a dangerous message. It cheapens the gospel message, because on judgment day, God's not going to say, did you believe in me? He's going to say, did you put my word into practice? And if we stand and we say, well, I was never told that, he's going to say, I'm sorry, I never knew you. Away from me. And I know that this is controversial. I know this is difficult, but this is what the Bible says. We have to teach it. This is how we as a community get to become more like Christ. If it's only belief, then there are limits to that belief. But if it's obedience, then for the rest of our lives, we get to enjoy learning how to be like Jesus. And I know that it is hard for some, but this is who he's addressing, as I said. Okay, so Jesus lays out this message. And at the very end of Matthew chapter 7, after the crowd has heard all of this, we see their response. And this is what they say, or what the Bible says. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were astonished. They were amazed. It goes on to say, because they had never heard somebody speak with such authority. Why did Jesus speak with such authority? Because he's the Son of God, and he knows that this is the standard. that God is calling them and us to. This is not just, what shall I talk about today? This is reality. This is the truth of what he's going to call us to. So what do we now do? Well, we do have a choice. And there are three responses that we see within this text that if we're not careful, we can follow one or two of those, but there's one that he wants us to do. The first response that he talks about is ignoring his teachings. So we could do this. Yeah, I hear it. Yeah, I'll try, but it's difficult. God loves me. I'm part of the church. We can just ignore what God's trying to do within our lives and within our character. We could be like the crowd who are just astonished by Jesus' words. Wow, they are hard teachings. They are difficult. Wow, they're amazing. What? Do not judge anybody? That's tough. If someone wants to take my shirt, my jacket, I give them my shirt too. Wow. Turn the other cheek. No, too much. That's what we can be like. And it can be a bit scary, especially in the light of the judgment that is to come. I really love the way the Bible Project put this. They say, listen, this can be overwhelming and it can be a little bit scary thinking that we will be judged in this way. But Jesus gives us another choice, and that is just to contemplate, to look back and examine the text and decide, what can I put into practice? And I think that's an encouraging thing to do, because he doesn't want us to be overwhelmed, he doesn't want us to be scared, but he does want us to be men and women of action. He wants us to take hold of his word and put it into practice within our lives. You know, we meet before the sermons, we meet with the ushers and the children's ministry workers just to share the message with them. And it was really encouraging hearing from them and listening to what they would like to take from this whole series. And there were different thoughts on salt being the salt of the earth and do not judge. Because these things, this is real life. These are things that all of us have to face every single day with our families, with ourselves, as we go out into the world. So Jesus is equipping us for real life, real life. So today, this is how we're going to end. We're going to do a little bit of group work together. I know it's a Sunday and not a midweek, but Jesus wants us to do something with the message, not just to let us to read it and then think, oh, that was nice. He wants us to really internalize it. So what I would like you to do is to choose no more than three teachings that you will pray about, that you will reflect upon, and that you will apply to your life from the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm going to put up the list of everything that we've covered. Also, I would like our next sermon series, by the way, as I said, is going to be led by the Spirit. And part of the reason why we've done the Sermon on the Mount is to prepare the ground for the Holy Spirit to feel more at home within our lives. So what I'd like you to do is to also consider which teachings would cultivate more space for the Holy Spirit as we begin to teach on him. The Bible says we can grieve the Spirit. So we want to clear out whatever might be there so the Spirit can feel at home. So as we look at the Sermon on the Mount, I examined it through the lens of loving God with our mind, loving God with our heart, and loving each other. The reason why I didn't do the soul is because the soul gets taken care of when we do the other three. Okay? When our soul is in an environment of love within community and with God, our soul is healthy. So we don't have to intentionally be working on the soul. So here's the breakdown of the three categories, and I'll put up the scriptures, and I would like you to think about which one of those you would like to begin or which three you would like to work on. So here they are. And let me explain. So for example, if you were to say, well, I really think about Jesus's prayer. And by the way, the next slide is a QR code with this on. Okay, so you can all have it on your phone. So you don't have to take a picture, but if you want to, it's fine. I'll come back to the QR code. It'll be up there in a minute, don't worry. So let me explain first. So you can put your phones down. Let me explain first. Okay. So for example, if Jesus is teaching on prayer and on the Lord's Prayer and our daily contact and connection with our Heavenly Father is something that you think you would like to do, that maybe you don't really pray every day, or if you do, it's not as in depth as it should be, Take hold of that. Remember, even 12 minutes of prayer a day transforms our brains. It's powerful. So maybe that's what you want to work on. And you decide, you know what? I pray in my room, but I'm actually going to begin to pray outside in nature to get more in contact with God. As you do that, you will probably find that your focus and your pure devotion on God will also grow. And then maybe throughout the day, the prayer will equip you to be more in touch with God, with the Holy Spirit. You'll be more mindful of God's presence within your life when you're at work, when you're talking with people, simply because you decided to pray more. As a result, you may even begin to pray about your relationships within the church, with your families, praying for God to open doors for the gospel at work, within people that you know, your community. Who knows what prayer can do? You see how it links together? So I'd like you to think about which three stand out to you, and maybe start with loving God with your mind. Which one from there speaks to you? Then go find one within the middle column of loving God with your heart, and then go to the last column, loving others. And just see if you can find a link and hold on to those. Does that make sense? All right, wonderful. You can tell I'm a teacher, I hope. We need to put this stuff into practice. It is powerful material, okay? He wants it to transform our lives. So let us do it justice in this way. So here's the QR code. We're going to do this together now as a church as we finish off. I've also got the other slide back up. If you aren't able to scan it, then I do have the three columns on the very next slide, but I'll give you a moment to scan. We're then going to spend about 5 minutes or so just discussing with one another. If you do get a chance to pray together, please do that. I will then come back out at the end, and then we will take communion together. Okay, once you've got it, maybe take some time just to pray to yourself. Ask God to show you and reveal to you what he would like you to work on. And then you can start talking with one another about what you've decided and try and link the three together if you can. Okay, everybody, if we can bring it back in. Sorry to cut it short. So my encouragement would be this week, whichever one or few you've decided, you know, study them out, pray about them, go back maybe even and listen to some of the sermons. Go on to the Bible Project website. They have some amazing material on all of this. And really dig deep this week in preparation for the teaching on the Holy Spirit and leading us continually on to becoming more like Christ. So let's pray as we take communion together at this time. Dear Lord, thank you for the life that Jesus has given to us, a life of joy, peace, self-control, love, happiness, true happiness, through his life that he lived, but also through his sacrifice on the cross. Without him, God, we would be so lost. It's scary to think about the lives that we would be living without him. And so we thank you, God, for his continual invitation to draw us closer to him and closer to you in the process. We ask, God, that you will please strengthen us by your Spirit. Help us to be mindful this week of the ways that you're trying to transform us into the likeness of your Son. Help us, God, to remember that it may not be easy, that it may be painful as we enter that through the narrow path. But help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for our sake endured the cross, the pain and the suffering of the cross, so that we can sit here today deciding and choosing to put aside whatever is getting in the way of our pure devotion to you. And so, Father, we surrender those things into your hands, and we look forward, God, to the continued transformation as we live out the teachings of Christ and make room for your Spirit. We love you. We thank you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.